Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Daniel, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a former games industry project manager turned full-time content creator from Northern Ireland. You can find her on iHeartRadio, podcast Boss Level, or you can find her on Twitch flying through the cosmos. Please welcome Psyche!
Hi, hello. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Psyche, a.k.a. I guess I have to have an a.k.a., so... AKA the gayest witch on Twitch, because someone once called me that, but I think they were trying to insult me and didn't realize that I actually took it as kind of a compliment.
Sorry, say it again. The gayest witch on Twitch?
The gayest witch on Twitch. He said, and I quote, "You are the biggest, gayest woman I have ever seen, and you kind of look like a witch."
Nice.
And I was like, thank you. That's like three compliments in one. But yeah,
superlatives in there, like the biggest, the gayest, the
I mean, like, that's pretty impressive, right?
That is. I'm impressed.
Take my crown, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's fine.
How is Northern Ireland? What's the weather like over there?
It's wet. It's really, really wet. I love the fact that I can look at my like little weather thing on my desktop and it has like rain coming, and that's what it says right now. But the other day it was like rain, sunshine, rain on and off. It ended up settling on because it just couldn't decide. But it's true.
It's like, never mind, forget it.
All the time. Like, that's just the way it is.
That's amazing.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
And I mean, hopefully it doesn't inhibit your ability to celebrate 4th of July. This weekend.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of that here.
Your favorite holiday.
You know, it's funny you say that, but like, actually, I think we might have some American neighbors, because 4th of July, we moved into this house like 2 years ago. My first 4th of July, like, I never noticed it's coming, obviously, because it's not celebrated here, but we had people setting off fireworks. And I was like, that for? And then I looked at the date and I was like, oh. I think we do actually have some American neighbors. It's also illegal to set off fireworks here, but they do it anyway.
That was my next question.
Yeah, you need to have a license. Nobody does. Apparently nobody cares either. Yeah. So it still happens.
There you go.
Yeah. Still okay. Sounds like Los Angeles. In the United States, which is so dry that a single misplaced firework can just set the whole country on fire. But we still got to do it, you know?
Still
got
to do it.
That's the way it is.
Just blow shit up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kids in the middle of the street in Los Angeles, California, just blowing things up, setting off car alarms. It's great.
The one time I experimented with big fireworks was when I lived in Missouri. I was picking my friend up at the Kansas City airport, driving back, and I had like turned off the part of my brain that notices these things because I was living in the middle of Missouri and was just like, yeah, that's Missouri. But my friend was like, hey, we've passed like 40 warehouses that all advertise like having the biggest, cheapest, best fireworks. Should we like do something with that? And so we got a bunch of fireworks, set them off in a park in the middle of the night while very drunk. And it was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. So I will our younger listeners don't just remove this from your brain, but I had always looked down upon the fireworks culture, and then I did it, and I was like, "Oh, right, because you're blowing things up, and it's awesome."
Exactly.
You get to make your own little Baz Luhrmann film. What is something from your search history?
I have never seen the movie The Bodyguard, which is my own fault because I grew up in a black woman's house. But someone recently told me that Whitney Houston holds a katana in that movie, and I had to immediately Google it, and I was not disappointed. A little disappointed because I wanted to see her really, like, really going at it.
You wanted to see her fucking swing it?
Yeah, whacking some bamboo or anything, but it's just this scene where Kevin Costner lets her hold a katana, and then he like throws like a silk sheet over it, and then it like slices without her like doing anything. Wow. And that was just really badass. So you heard it here, Whitney Houston ninja. Mm-hmm. That's relevant to my interests.
How is that not like the most memed like gif? Like that
exactly
that Usher gif, the watch this gif is everywhere. What about this?
Yeah, we live in a world of so much fan art where people are like making all the Naruto characters black or something like that. So I think it's time we got some Whitney Houston holding a katana fan art. And if anyone is listening and you got the artistic capacity, tweet at me. I'll Venmo you $50. I don't care.
I miss when the biggest stars.
Yeah.
Like also acted and did well. Like I feel like this new crop of stars we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now probably like Lady Gaga is the last one. And like there's more coming. But who are like, I'm not saying like the stars aren't acting, but like Whitney Houston was okay as an actress. I mean,
yeah.
A fun fact, a lot of people don't know that. Well, maybe some people do know this, but she was originally cast as one of the daughters on the Cosby Show or some shit, I think.
Oh. That's wow.
So, yeah. And like then she turned it down and went to music instead, which was, you know, a good idea. But yeah, man, Whitney Houston.
Are we talking about Lady Gaga? I was like, what?
No, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston. Sorry. Lady Gaga was going to be Claire and Cliff Huxtable's daughter.
Oh, okay.
No, she was going to be on The Cosby Show. She was going to be their white daughter.
Yeah.
She was also in a infant. But no, it's just like, I think that's dope. And now, and I mean, like, not just singers who act, but like the top of the echelon. Like, now we have Beyonce, and I'm sorry, Beehive, but Beyonce is a terrible fucking actress.
Listen, it's been like, it's been over 10 years since Goldmember. I'm sure she's got some lessons down.
I don't know, man. Dreamgirls came out the Go member, and
well, we got Haley in Little Mermaid, so we'll
okay,
see.
There we go. We'll see what's up.
Rihanna was like very good in everything she was in. She was just in like bad movies, and then just was like, I just choose not to be a great actor.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
she was in Battleships.
Battleship. That was like. She was like a great part of Battleship, but of course nobody fucking saw that.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. Like, let's get some of these singers like lead roles and see what they can in like cheesy rom-coms. Like, remember The Preacher's Wife with Denzel and Whitney?
Yes.
Like, terrible movie, but also very fun. It was so fun. Loved it.
What's something you think is overrated, Rachel?
The Kardashians.
Oh, no. Ooh. No, 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 no. No,
we're about to be fighting. Let's go.
No, I'm just joking. You can proceed.
I respect the hustle. I mean, they clearly know what they're doing and they're like marketing, you know, mavens, but they have no talent, like actual talent, you know. It's just they're infamous, not famous, you know. I'm over it, you know. I was over it a long time ago, and yet the people still keep paying them and signing up and watching the shows and buying the clothes.
Yep. Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah. What is the, I feel like their talent is like Americanness or like the, I don't know. They just like really put together all the skill sets that you needed to be famous at this very specific time. And
yeah. Yeah.
Will they continue to be a name that like people recognize 20 years in the future? Will it, like, how do people like that who become famous for something random and don't really have a discernible, you know, artistic skill, how do they fare over the course of history? I'm trying to think of like other examples of that. I guess we're at like peak that being taken seriously, right?
Yeah, maybe so. I think there's also like a disposable nature to the kind of thing where it's get it while the getting's good, and then just that is a flame that will burn out. Right. There's like the first, see, as a avid Huluer who will just take in as much content as physically possible. In the first episode of the new Kardashian series, which I binged the entire series of, kind of a joke.
New series or new season? What are we talking
about? New series, The Kardashians on Hulu. It's like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but they're just like, they're just throwing, they're running it back, basically.
They're like, we Kris Jenner wanted our own, like, we felt like Keeping Up with the Kardashians didn't have our artistic imprint on it. Okay.
Yeah, had too much Rob in it. But anyway, Kris Jenner goes over all the businesses that the Kardashians are, like, running, and... You know, I could be naive, but I haven't heard of a single one of them. And there's something about this kind of like, let's just kind of get this money train rolling as much as physically possible. And then when people stop caring in, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, we'll have enough money that we can disappear off of the face of the earth. And that's totally chill.
Yeah,
there feels like it feels like it's a flame that is burning as hard and fast as possible, kind of like a climate change accelerationism kind of thing, where it's just like, let's just get the going while the going is good and then be out to our bunker in Calabasas.
We'll either flame out or will cause the end of the world indirectly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's all disposable, whatever it is. So it's like, you know, clothes, whatever.
Yeah.
Candles. I don't know what they're making.
I'm just like looking at IMDb, like for Kim.
Yeah.
You know, TV star, entrepreneur, fashion designer, and author, New York Times bestseller, Kardashian.
She is actually one of my favorite writers, but that's, you know.
Prolific. Yeah, author. What?
Not something I like to admit, but she's one of my favorite writers and authors.
Totally.
Wow. Wow. This bio just keeps going. Wow. Well, I guess if you build it, it will come.
Right.
Oh, it's yeah.
Woof.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Because I don't think we have a corollary, right? Like, we don't have somebody who was famous for being famous in history that I know of. And maybe we do. And that sort of thing just ages so poorly that nobody gives a shit enough to remember them. But I am curious, like, what that will look like even like 40 years from now.
I feel like these characters exist in literature in different ways, where it's like someone who's like fame precedes them, and they just, you know, the story is about kind of like on some Great Gatsby shit, like they just are famous in the world of the book, and it's about their descent into self-destruction.
Yeah.
And something aging painting in an attic for the Kardashian existence.
Right.
We'll see.
I feel like people who are famous for being rich, like Gatsby, don't age that well. Like, I know that whenever I read something from the 50s or like, I think actually earlier than that, like the 1910s, they're like, regular John D. Rockefeller over here. And I'm like, that name I know, but like all the other ones I don't. And I also don't give a shit about, about like that. And it makes you sound like incredibly old. Like there's nothing timeless about a famous for being rich person.
Well, we also thought that about Donald Trump for a while. So we saw how that happened. Right. What happened with that?
Yeah, president. It does seem like it's all bleeding together now. Yeah. Reality show, famous for being rich, and the president. Maybe our greatest president, some are saying.
And everything that has like a person's name put on it is just being replaced by a brand anyway. Right. So it's like your whatever your famous Aster name is or some whatever. I'm just going real Gilded Age here. Any of those names are just being replaced by Smoothie King or Mercedes. So it's like, you know what? Whatever famous name you thought would last forever is just being replaced by Build-A-Bear. So.
Yeah.
You know,
and those are the three main ones. Smoothie King.
Smoothie King, Mercedes, Build-A-Bear. You know when they were doing, did you ever watch Entourage when they were doing that sell of Vinny Chase to every single, like, it was every agency was like, we're trying to get Vinny Chase in here. It was Smoothie King, Mercedes, Build-A-Bear, Vinny Chase. Brands recognizable around the world.
You're our Smoothie King, Vinny Chase, if you sign with CAA.
Claire, tell us something that's underrated in your opinion.
I recently rented a convertible car when I was visiting LA. Highly underrated. I'm going to say everybody should drive around in a convertible at least once in their life, with the threat of large objects falling off of other cars and hitting you in the head. It's thrilling, and it's like music sounds better. I don't mean to sound like I'm stoned, but it's just, you know, it's just an insane experience. I was specifically driving in LA. I don't know what it's like, you know, in like Dallas or whatever. History shows it's not a good place to have a convertible, but I would say that it's just so fun. I can't speak to being a passenger in the back seat of a convertible. That seems maybe overrated, but underrated, right? Driving in a convertible in LA.
I just watched Thelma and Louise for the first time like a month ago, and so I'm catching the vibes. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of winding your hair, but I would absolutely have to wear a scarf because like after half an hour at full speed, it would be an issue. But there is something about driving around certain parts of LA specifically, like pretty much anywhere on the east side, you start to feel way more glamorous and or cool depending on which. Like if you're in Beverly Hills and you're driving around in a car that's like clean and semi-nice, you're like, my God, am I wealthy? What's happening over here? Like I feel very posh and it's amazing. Or, you know, if you're like in East Los Angeles and the fashion district, suddenly you're like, oh, this is where cool kids are and I'm here, so therefore I must also be cool. And I can only imagine that a convertible is just really heightening all of those feelings. I'm a convertible. Yeah. You've convinced me.
And you can put the top up too, right? Like it's not mandatory.
I suggest convertible at some point putting the top up, or else the top of your head will get sunburned.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of just what happened to me.
That's just, I like to undercut people who are excited about a thing by tempering it with the practical, well, you can always put the top up and wear a hat. And I don't think I've ever driven in a convertible. I think I've only been in one of those Jeep Wranglers when I was in high school that are like made of paper, except for a roll bar. And it was like driving on the highway with that person was a very like violent experience.
Oh no.
Well, just because it's like everything is like, you know, flapping so hard. They're just, it's like, your car is a half tent at that point. But I have seen a lot of people driving around LA in presumably rental cars and that are convertibles. And also, it seems like generally like 50 plus men have like old school convertibles that they proudly drive around in and like kind of will make eye contact with you as they pull up in their convertible.
And they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did the head nod and I the fellow
convertible driver head nod. Yeah. All right. Well, I now have my marching orders. I'm gonna drive a convertible before it's too late.
Yeah. With your amber scorpion tattoo. Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. What's a good Leo tattoo? I gotta look that up. I mean,
get a lion with a crown on its head.
Okay.
King shit.
That definitely matches my energy. So
totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Get some blood splatter on the teeth.
Yeah, a lion is just eating and just kind of taking a nap under a tree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind
just
of vibe.
Like a tired lion.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check in with the Washington Post on their tips for living in our new America.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And like we said up top, everybody seems to be coming to the same conclusion that America is currently having an existential crisis, like in as far as its political systems go. The American people seem to be asking, like, why do these parties exist? Like, on the one side, it's like MAGA people being like, why won't they agree with Trump? But I think the majority is people being like, hey, we voted for Democrats. We've voted for Democrats, like in the majority, 8 of the last 9 elections. But it does feel like there is a paralysis that is happening with this party. Like, what else can we do here? And the answer that the New York Times seems to have come up with is, like, just doubling down, like, the blaming extreme leftist politics. It was, like, a truly baffling story.
The New York Times is... I think we can all consider the New York Times to be a conservative rag at this point. Like, it seems like every week they got some new shit everyone's getting mad about in their opinion section or elsewhere. It's they're just all about the status quo.
Yeah,
it's not a surprise.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% that they are. I would even take it. I don't really think there isn't an extreme left, because the only extreme left there is people on the quote unquote extreme left just sometimes are equally as fucking annoying as people on, like, yeah, for exactly. Different fucking reasons. You know, it's very much because, you know, white people have gotten a hold of wokeism and their only way to do anything is to say my way or the highway type shit, which, you know, I get that. But I would prefer the New York Times to be about as conservative as it gets.
So they were open about it.
Yeah.
Well, not. I'm just saying, like, I want to live in a world where that is what the New York Times, what they represent, is the extreme right. Because is even worse.
It is even worse, right? Yeah.
And I, you know, that's what we're, you know, because I'm, you know, everybody love. I want progressive. I want to be I'm in a progressive thing and everything like that, but. I'm not like dumb and think like the right is gonna go away forever. Like, that's just not a realistic thought, right?
No.
But if we can eradicate what is seemingly taken over and ruling our country apparently with an iron clan fist, with this, which is the extreme right, then I'm all for that. I don't know how we get there, but it's.
I don't want to go off on a tangent or anything. I had this viral thread about a week ago.
That's your favorite famous catchphrase, by the way. I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Thank you so much.
I
want
to go off on a tangent. I had a viral thread a week ago.
I wanted to make sure that people caught the trademark, the implications of the trademark in there as you said it.
But thank you so much. Go back and listen to the other DZs where I guest on. There's always a point. And you can drink if you hear me say that. But I was watching this... video by this economist who is also this historian, and he was talking about what happens to these empires who are on the top historically. You know, before we were like the country with the reserve currency, which is the most internationally strong currency in the world, which people trade off, and because of that they tend to lend us money and we get to kind of determine the policies for a lot of the rest of the world. Before us, it was the British. Before the British, it was the French. Before the French, it was the Dutch. And we forget about the Dutch, but the Dutch invented ships and they invented capitalism and they invented the stock market. Mm. And we've seen all of these empires who were on the top at one point kind of go through these periods where they were at the top. And those periods lasted for like 100, 150 years. And if you look at it historically, from even before the Dutch, we were like the Spanish and like the Portuguese, like we've kind of reached that point where economically our leaders are just borrowing a lot of money. Rich people, like the divide between the poor and rich has increased. Rich people are playing the stock market. You see them investing in things like gold and stuff because they think that the market's going to tank because they borrowed money and all this stuff. It's just like, it's on a larger scale, it seems like America's dying. I think we're all in this kind of like weird existential crisis. But at the same time, I think we're just going to have to get used to not being the world's biggest superpower. And we're just going to have to focus on like making our lives better. Like the rights that we fight for are important.
Yeah.
It's not just voting that we have to do. It's like we actually do have to demand change from our leaders who are ineffective, and they're ineffective for a reason. It's by design, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the center is just not it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Like the center isn't it anymore because, like I said, like the center almost has to become what we need to be, just the right. And yeah. and you know, it is, right? Because, or else I don't think, like, because you can't be, you can't, the extreme to the right of the center is too extreme, right? So exactly. any movement toward that direction, the status quo is why we have led to the extreme right. Status quo, yeah. We not codifying and doing things and being like, oh, it's okay, is what has allowed people who, for instance, have wanted to control and take away women's rights and women's reproductive rights and all the things we see kind of going away, because the inaction of the center is what's allowed them to just kind of keep operating kind of in the shadows, and now they're operating in the fucking light. Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I remember growing up and thinking, like, I can't imagine people being, like, openly bigoted as they were, like, you know, when we see black and white videos of, like, the civil rights movement. I couldn't really picture it, and now it's like commonplace.
It's commonplace.
It's people who are younger than me as well too, which is a really surprising thing.
Yeah,
it's nuts, and honestly, it's all from like 4chan and stuff. Right. It's all the stuff I'm very familiar with.
And I think there's also something happening where there is desperation among people who are coming to this conclusion that we have a political system that only serves corporations and the police, essentially, at this point. And that, you know, that, like, so there's anger and discomfort, and the way that people deal with that is like looking for something outside of the status quo and the mainstream that is currently ignoring them. And the, you know, the 4chans of the world are one of the things that is offering a solution. It is a horrifying, like, you know, white supremacist, violent ideology, but it's also, it's there and constant. The left seems to be like struggling as of now to like fully put something together that is like consistent and coherent, like, you know, we had for a while with Sanders.
Yeah, I think part of it is because the left by design is diverse and egalitarian, and we consist of a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. And the right, and I feel like we see this over and over in history, it's like they value a specific type of lifestyle, which is this white American way Christian identity that they rally around and push and try to gather people in. And that's how, you know, fascism happens. You wrap people around one identity, and then you blame all their problems on other people, and then they stockpile a bunch of guns. So it's kind of a scary place to be in. But like at the same time, when we push Democrats and be like, we need to push gun reform right now, we need to codify Roe and Wade right now, like the situation is more desperate than it ever has. I mean, last week we saw the Supreme Court just push through a bunch of shit. We saw them push through, they got rid of some coal regulations for coal mining and stuff like that. It just seems like they're doing every evil thing in the playlist as fast as possible. And it's a really pivotal year.
Well, let's talk about another thing that American capitalism has ruined, and that is email. Because so it's basically like, I don't know. I want to ask the question, like, what can't capitalism ruined? Is there anything that is not going to be ruined by capitalism?
Because nothing sacred.
Nothing.
Yeah, truly.
Like, so basically, the latest development is that, like, Google was banning, was, like, you know, identifying political ads and sending them to spam filters. And a Republican by the name of Dr. Ronnie Johnson, who you might remember, I think that's his name, or Ronnie Jackson, Jackson.
Ah.
You might remember as the guy who gave everybody drugs in the White House, like was the
speed dealer
mm-hmm. for like, got I it. Think both the Obama White House and and the Trump White House. And
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, he was Dr. Feelgood. That was his nickname. And then he, I think he got drunk and wrecked a government vehicle at a Secret Service going away party.
What a legacy.
So sick.
So like, but like Trump was like, we want him to head the VA, I think. And everyone was like, wait, what? What do you mean? That guy's like basically your drug dealer. Why would he head the VA? He doesn't have any sort of like mass administrative experience. And then he got drunk. I think like just part of him was like, oh man, I'm way over my head. I better do what old Dr. Ronnie Jacks does when he's in over his head and get drunk and wreck a government vehicle. And so that was the end of all that. So he was relegated to taking a job as a U.S. congressman and got elected in 2020, made headlines for claiming that the Omicron variant was a conspiracy concocted by the Democrats. And he was also noticing that his emails that he kept sending out to the people he was trying to get to give him money were getting sent to spam. And so he went on a rant about how Google's Gmail was actively suppressing Republican emails and sending them to the spam folder, which he claimed was a form of election interference. And like a new North Carolina State University study actually did find Republican emails were more likely to go to spam folders in Gmail than other services like Outlook, but it's less a conspiracy and more that Republicans send a lot of bad spam, like which yes, we've known.
Facts.
Like just Trump's campaign has sent out emails like using misleading subject lines that read as a message from friends or family, and like subject lines that appear to be an email bounce back notification, like just all the like phishing tactics. Just go hard as you can to get as much money from these people as you can. But the Democrats do this shit too. Like there was a
I was just gonna say,
yeah, the Democrats just sent out a final notice. May Democrat membership pending. May Democratic membership pending?
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't remember signing up in the first place.
You have 17 missed messages to renew your Democratic membership, bro. This is your final notice to renew your membership before tonight's critical end of month deadline. That is from the Democratic Party.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it sucks. But anyways, they sued Google to be like, you're doing bad stuff. And Google was like, all right, I don't know, whatever, fine. So basically now they can like apply for, it's a bill that seeks to make it illegal for email service providers to automatically put campaign messages into the spam folder, pilot program for political parties to bypass spam detection systems. So yeah, it's just like because they are powerful, the Republican Party is able to reach out to Google and get them to let them like ruin your inbox.
Nice. You know, on this really feels like kind of a weighing of priorities thing for Google here, because I know we've all seen those like Senate hearings or whatever where they're basically grilling, is it Sundar Pichai, who's the CEO of Google, basically grilling him on, so does my phone know where I am, right? If I go sit on the other side, is it gonna know that I'm sitting with our friends on the left over here? And he's like, you have to turn on location services, like answer the question. And it feels like this whole like spam thing, I don't think they necessarily, or Google necessarily, sees it as a problem. Like what you're saying, they're just like, yeah, fine, whatever, just send your damn emails, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, it all just mixes in with every other email that people are getting. Like every day I feel like I'm unsubscribing to lists I didn't even know that I was on. Yep. And then 3 days later, I'm getting another email from that same thing. And it's like, well, you needed to allow 10 days for the unsubscription to go through. So we'll keep sending you emails for the next 10 days. And it's like, it just keeps piling on to the point where it's like, I have like 2 or 3 emails that I need to check per day, basically. I mean, like there's more. This is personal email. Work emails are different. But there's like 3 actual personal emails that I need to check a day maximum out of the maybe 30 or 40 that I get.
Right.
And it does not feel like a problem to our email providers.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about them because we are not their constituent. The corporations are their constituent. They are there to keep things moving smoothly, and yeah, it's just bad. I feel like it's just interesting to think about like all the technologies that capitalism has ruined. Like email was useful and a great idea for a few years, and then it got flooded with spam, and like it's just like an arms race between like marketers and the technology companies to like, you know, keep it from making their product unusable. But then the big technology companies eventually get worn down, or they get, you know, so successful that they have friends in high places. You know, I used to work for a website that like wrote list articles that were full of content and were not like, did not have ads that were like following you around and tracking which direction your eyeball was looking. And now like it's to the point that like when I read articles, not on just like random websites, but on like news articles, it's like they have the most deceptive ads that are like there to trick you into clicking on them at all costs. Yep. Like even at the cost of continuing to read the article you were there to read. Like it's
wild.
It's all broken. And it just is the evolution of all technologies, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, I don't know. I mentioned this on my stream the other day because I feel maybe I'm just really cynical, but I feel like social media as a whole has changed so very, very much from like when it first started. I feel like I don't really understand. And I don't think it's just because I'm getting older, because I feel like that's the immediate like jump to is that, oh yeah, as you get older, social media makes less sense. But like I've been on social media since its inception, and I just feel like I don't understand Instagram anymore. I feel like I don't know what it wants from me. I don't know what to put. I'm constantly plagued with ads, and it's half the time it's stuff that's like creepily relevant to me. And then the other half, it's like, I don't even know why you think I would want to see this. Yeah. So I don't really feel like I understand how to engage with it. It's not the same as it was before, if that makes sense.
That's what the best and brightest minds of the past 20 years have been working on. Is making Twitter I feel like Twitter like is the thing that has saved it is that they suck at marketing and like so the ads aren't like ever relevant and so they're easy to skip. But like Instagram, you know, the best and brightest minds, instead of like building our infrastructure, rebuilding or fixing U.S. infrastructure infrastructure around the country, they go into marketing, work for these massive, you know, technology companies and find ways to market. Like that is the big evolution of the past 20 years, is like marketing has gotten way better for brands, not for humans.
Yes.
It has taken away our free will. that minor pesky thing.
Good old free will. I also feel like we're kind of in an arms race of efficiency, in that like email used to be good because it was quick and it was like, I can send you a letter over the internet. But nowadays it's like you're competing with Slack, with Discord, with text messages about like getting messages to people. And so there's this like need to make your email so urgent. It's like you're saying, it's like you have to sign up now, urgent, Mr. blah, 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 blah. So it's like email is quickly losing relevance at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like these kinds of, I mean, I guess it's interesting to see. I mean, I will say, you know, I'm typing stop into my phone so often these days from whatever political text messaging that I'm getting, being like, hey, this is Nancy Pelosi and we really need to talk. I'm just like, stop. Yeah. But it's like as they look for new venues to kind of like grab your attention in this kind of like market of instantaneous interaction, it's like email's really phasing out. And so I think the spam thing is almost kind of in that last desperate attempt to hold on to this kind of archaic technology.
Yeah. You know? And make, yeah, just like the last, I think that's probably also what's happening is Google is like, well, nobody fucking uses Gmail anymore. Sure.
Exactly, whatever. Who cares?
We're working on a new technology where, you know, in 2 years, we'll be recording this podcast over Zoom and Nancy Pelosi will join and start asking us to, she'll join the chat. And start,
exactly.
Yeah.
We see, we have a really, really great thing in Northern Ireland. I'm not even... I realize again, I sound so cynical, but in Northern Ireland, we're so behind, like businesses are behind, politics is behind. We don't use email here. Like we obviously we use email for like online communication, but I mean like our political parties don't use email. They don't use social media. They don't have a website really? Half the time. They're really behind. It's so weird. Like it's something as simple as like having a business that you want, like my hairdresser or my tattoo artist, I want to book something and they take all of their bookings through Facebook. And I'm like, I don't have a Facebook anymore. I got rid of it a long time ago. Like, can I call you or email you or something? Do you have a website with a contact? Like no businesses here have that. And like political parties, I still get just leaflets through my mailbox. I don't get a digital version of it. Wow.
I still get leaflets. It's kind of interesting, actually. Yeah. For sure I get leaflets, but they also, my email is unusable.
See, they don't, I just think they don't know email exists.
That sounds
great. I'm not trying to be super, super cynical. I swear. I know that that's like, it goes against the fact that I'm always arguing with people that, yes, in fact, in Northern Ireland, we do have the internet and electricity and cars, because some people seem to think we don't. But like, at the same time, businesses and like, as far as the government is concerned, it's really like stuck in the past. I don't know why. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Sounds like you might be leapfrogging certain technologies. Like maybe we don't have email, but then it's like, but we have the next thing after TikTok already.
We had cell phones that we call them mobiles, but like we had SMS messaging before the US did. Like whenever, which is really weird because you guys had like pagers, right?
We had pagers. And we
didn't
had,
have those.
Right. We've had some stuff.
Yeah. So we didn't have pagers or anything like that, but we had SMS messaging like really, really super early on.
Interesting.
And that's remember when I met like my online friends in the US and I'd be like, because I used LiveJournal or whatever, and I'd be talking to them and they didn't have SMS messaging or like they knew of it because it was something that existed, but like it was quite expensive. So they just didn't have it. They used their pager instead or whatever. And I always thought, why is it that like Northern Ireland was ahead of something technologically speaking, yet we still can't use email? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So we're definitely doing the leapfrog effect.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure it's a good thing, but...
Well...
Hey, we'll see what the next technology is that pops up. You could be like, actually, no, I'm kind of glad that we skipped email for
this.
Right.
Whatever that may be.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And all right, so we got a couple options here. Senator Lindsey Graham won't comply with the subpoena. Maybe we can talk about that on yesterday's trending. COVID seems to be going up. Well, yep. Like the New York Times just published a thing that was like 50% of people say we're back to normal. So
no,
I mean,
we are not.
So wishful thinking. But I think the big, let's go CERN.
Yeah.
The particle accelerator.
Yeah.
Which they fired it back up July 5th.
So down.
Depending on who you ask, it either led to the discovery of three subatomic particles that have never been seen before, which they gave like cute little pentaquark, tetraquark, and I forget what the other one is. Or if you listen to other people, it is the thing that just threw us all into another dimension. So you might want to double check that the sky is blue, the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, and Back to the Future starred Eric Stoltz.
Aha!
Because...
Very good. I know it was really starring Ben Stiller, you goof.
Was he? Did he try out for that?
Yes.
He did?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Amazing.
Duh. Try out. That's so cute. It's a volleyball
didn't you
team.
Know?
I didn't.
Yes.
So, Dan, as our
that's
like
an alternate universe show.
Kind of resident song or sorry, sure. resident science expert. I don't know,
oh,
man.
Oh, God.
My brain doesn't work.
I have some friends in high school that would hear you call me resident science expert and just spit their coffee out.
As our resident person who's like kind of interested in science stuff. Yeah. So, the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah. Yeah, the Large Pina Colada.
Yes. They fire two high energy particle beams and they travel close to the speed of light
and then
collide. It's
yes,
like
correct.
This giant 7 mile long ring, like track that is designed to do the thing that you're not supposed to do in Ghostbusters where they like cross the paths.
Yes, with the cross streams.
Yeah.
Thankfully in science terms, or rather I shouldn't say in science terms, Bennett. No, sure. In science terms, the amount of power that is created, the amount of energy that is created is so vastly smaller than the amount of energy needed to do anything like, say, collapse a star or create some sort of enormous explosion or rip in the space-time. There's a lot of a perception that like what we're trying to do here is recreate what like a black hole does or like, you know, fire energy at each other in such a speed that is just like only perceptible in space and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is it's like, you know, a star collapsing on itself to make a black hole, you were talking about such an expenditure of energy that there's no amount of resources on our planet that could create such an amount of power. It just simply is, it is a total physical impossibility. So what is going on at CERN is always fascinating.
Real quick, it does sound like you are speaking as somebody who has done a lot of research into like what it would take to end the world.
It sounds pretty expert-y to me. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, well, you know,
you're like, it's guys, it's not going to happen. All right. Like,
look, I've been thinking about a lot of ways to rip through space-time.
To
I'm
rip
just saying.
The universe in half is... Like, you're gonna believe me, this is small potatoes. We're not anywhere close to what we need, okay?
Indeed. If we had about like 12 planets worth of these, okay, then maybe we're talking. But otherwise, no, I think it's just an awesome way to discover these things. And to clarify what you're saying earlier, it is a pentaquark and a pair of tetraquarks. Those are the three particles that we have discovered. So it's one and two of the other.
Quantum, I like my understanding of quantum physics very loose and just I just like keep it nice and charming. Like one of the directions they can spin is like lucky. Isn't that one of the things?
Yes, like, exactly.
That's good enough for me. I'm like, all right, you sons of bitches. Like, that doesn't make any sense, but we'll go with that.
Yeah. But you know, I think what's funny is that, you know, this is kind of the extension of a meme that came out the very first time they launched up the Large Hadron Collider, which was like, here's a live camera feed from the Large Hadron Collider. And it was just like a then viral video. I'm trying to remember the last time or the first time they fired up the Large Hadron Collider. I'm going to Google that while I'm telling you the story.
2015, I think.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But it was a video, a quote unquote video feed of just like a purple hole expanding in the center of it. And then one camera gets absorbed and then they go to a different camera and it gets absorbed. And people are like some like War of the Worlds style, like there is an emergency happening at the Large Hadron Collider right now. And thankfully we had the internet at that point and were able to, you know, go, guys, it's cool. This is not.
I will just point out the last time that they fired this thing up was between the time that Donald Trump announced his run for presidency and everybody was like, this is a joke, and then the time that he was elected. So I'm just saying the stupidity is fun to track because the scared fears that people, aka I, have are pretty fun. A TikToker claimed that last time the collider was activated, they were all thrown into a new timeline. So it's very important to keep your vibrations high.
Don't shoot people.
For the July weekend would put you at risk of falling behind if you drank over the weekend was another thing. But just keep your vibrations high because this time they're going to be turning it on, moving it much faster. Which I kind of love.
I love the idea. It's like, yeah, they're firing the particles faster this time. So guys, Mercury is even more in retrograde.
Yeah.
Watch your butts. Get ready. It's very silly. Very silly. I love a misunderstanding of science sometimes. That's the best kind.
But it's the age of Aquarius.
It is the age of
love it. I like astrology and I can make fun of myself. So,
hell yeah. Hey, we're all having fun here.
It's entertaining.
Yeah. But yeah, no. I mean, you know, much like the James Webb, which we will get information back on in 5 days.
Yeah. So this is, we should check in with Daniel's Science Corner, as it's called, TM.
We'll be
back.
But
this is something you've been kind of keeping an eye on, keeping us up on for a while, that they sent a big telescope into space and the pictures are being slowly, it's like in Usual Suspects when the drawing of Kaiser Soze is being like slowly put together and faxed through. Yes. That's what's happening with the pictures of deep space. And what are you hoping to find in these pictures?
I just think significantly clearer pictures of the planets that surround that are part of our solar system. Deeper looks at, you know, there's a very famous Hubble picture that is just kind of like the universe, and it's just a sea of stars. And you look at it, and it's like each one of these little beads of light in here is its own galaxy. And it was one of those first kind of like breathtaking images of space that's like, oh, shit. It is so vast and so deep, completely beyond our understanding. And if anything, more clarity. I think, you know, pictures that we'll get of the other planets in our solar system will be remarkable. you'll be getting all sorts of, you know, phone and laptop backgrounds for ages to come from super nice. High-res images.
All right, that's all I really care about.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, mm-hmm. Sweet.
I had a random, really geeky thought. You know how, like, they say perception is reality? So it's like, yes. You know, we look at these planets and it's like we can't see any life forms. Mm-hmm. But what if they exist, but because we don't know what they look like, we can't see them?
Bingo. Bingo. Boom. We are going to see it is taking in all sorts of light, all sorts of radiation. Like, we're going to see shit we have absolutely no idea about. I mean, like, will we see anything sort of like, I don't know if we're going to see anything world changing. And frankly, if we do see something world changing, there will be a whole campaign similar to Don't Look Up. That's like, you know what? Don't worry about that. A, it's not real. And B, those aliens aren't coming for us, baby. But right. like the last time I talked about this on the show, I'm always hoping that we make, quote unquote, the discovery that the Star Trek aliens decide to put the walls down and say, OK, you guys found it. You have now discovered that space is much more vast and active than you thought it was. And we need to welcome you to the Federation and save your planet before you all kill yourselves, because your information is in fact valuable. Your lives do have value. And yeah, don't kill yourselves. We're the Federation. I'm Jean-Luc Picard. Thank you for listening.
And the Republicans are like, fuck you.
Fuck you.
You're not better than us, Picard.
Yeah, exactly. And they get teleported. Go up to the home, Avatar. Assimilated. Yeah, exactly.
I like how they're in Boston.
Yeah, for sure they're in Boston.
All of them are in Boston.
Like, Boston will, even whatever hypothetical reality that is, where we finally make contact, the aliens are more advanced and like a higher life form, and all the idea that like it's kill or be killed out here, man, is like, no, that's actually not true. We're like, once you get to a certain level of technology, you just want to like kind of build like with other life forms and like create this giant, beautiful, like, work of art that is intergalactic, you know, network of civilizations. Mm-hmm. And Boston will still exist when that happens. And they will be like, fuck you.
Fuck you,
like,
bud.
I'm going to fucking shoot the fucking aliens.
Like, Harvard experts will be like announcing this, and there will probably be somebody from Southie in attendance just being like, go fuck yourself, dude.
Go fuck yourself, dude.
For real, dude. Go fuck yourself. You think you're better than me? There was, all right, so one thing that Jam included in this story is, and he was very quick to dismiss it. He said, and then there was the apparent human ritual sacrifice on the grounds of CERN, presumably to open up the gates of hell. It really was filmed at the CERN facility, but it was obviously a group of pranksters who snuck in. And then it's like a video that looks straight up like, you know, Da Vinci Code shit.
Yeah.
And it, like, but did they ever like catch the people? Like, I don't, it feels, I don't, why are we saying it's so obviously people?
Yeah, this feels like one of those things where a company investigates itself and goes, well, we didn't find any wrongdoing.
Right. Exactly. That is definitely your CEO actually sacrificing somebody who ran away from home. Like, yeah.
It does feel like the kind of thing that like a bunch of just, I mean, a bunch of nerds would be like, could you imagine? Did you imagine if people believe this? And then they make a funny, a quote unquote funny video, and it causes a massive conspiracy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I got my eye on you, CERN. I don't fucking trust you at all, dude.
There's a story about an artist at MIT that made Escher stairs. Is everybody familiar with M.C. Escher? Those famous paintings and images that are impossible staircases or impossible structures and stuff like that. And this dude made a very well-edited, convincing video about how he actually built a set of Escher staircases and invited people to come to MIT to look at it. And the video is super convincing. But of course, you get there and he's like, no, it's obviously not. These are physically impossible things to create. Like, no, of course it's not real. And people were so mad. They were like, what do you mean? You made this whole video about it. He's like, yeah, as a fucking joke, you idiots. It's physically impossible. But people still fell for it anyway and were so mad when they got to the Escher stairs and they weren't real. It's like, yeah, guys, yeah, no.
I actually turn my hands into those Escher hands that are like drawing the thing, but they're also part of the drawing. Whoa. Did that shit.
That's wild.
Yeah, I'm a flock of birds now. Flock of two-dimensional birds. It's crazy. All right.
And I'm a Dali painting. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.